Thanks for coming. So I was just asked to do this little presentation about expanding beyond the classroom. The only bit which is really related to beyond the classroom is the bit that's not working, which is what we're able to do with the interactive whiteboard technology is to share the screen. I'll come to that in a minute to show you how you can invite, if you're teaching with the interactive whiteboard, you can invite the students who are sitting in front of you with their own laptop to log on and share whatever you're writing on the screen is coming up on their laptop as they're doing it. And you can also, students in your class who aren't even there, could be at home or somewhere else, can also log on and watch or participate in the lesson.
Live,
yeah.
Live. So if someone's sick,
yes,
they can log on at 11 o'clock when their class starts and they can actually interact live.
Exactly.
Live.
They can watch it, and you can give them the ability to control the stylus and add to it as well. What we were going to do to set up here is to have a laptop with on the big screen, another big screen, so that you could see laptops, but the catch is the wireless network here in the hotel blocks that server and we can't talk to it. So in your institution, you need to have that wireless network channel open in order to work. That's why we can't really see it. So what we're actually going to do is just have a look at an overview of current classroom technologies really quickly, a closer look at specifically at using an interactive whiteboard for teaching. Then a little sample lesson on wine appreciation using the interactive whiteboard software, which will attempt to show some live meeting share, interactive question techniques, and integrating hardware such as document cameras and graphic tablets into the lesson. And then we'll have a competition with a prize. We have the prize here, but we have a prize. And if you want questions, answer.
The technology of wine will be.
Yeah. Okay, so if you could just, with your response cards, choose one of those. That should be six. Countdown timer pops up. So this is also just showing you something that you can use in your class for teaching. Interactive questions. Well, if you're using it for teaching, then the type of questions you ask would depend on what group you're working with. But at the start, you might commonly ask them some questions about their prior knowledge of the topic you're about to teach, for example. So a few people from Queensland are with New South Wales. What best describes your role? Teacher, trainer, ICT specialist. There's just a couple of these questions just to kind of give you a bit of a practice of using the keypad. Teacher trainer. And a few of each of the others. What type of organisation are you from? TAFE, RTO, corporate or other? 5 seconds. So you can kind of speed it up and slow it down. A bit of each except corporate. Very good, that's what you would expect. Okay, so the interactive technologies that we're going to have a quick look at are whiteboards and projectors, document cameras, wireless tablets and student response systems. And they're all heading towards kind of the classroom of the future, and a lot of university classrooms now are changing their layout completely from a kind of a great big lecture theatre at the front and rowed seating to circular tables and kind of interactive walls all the way around. So they have either interactive whiteboards or touch screens and multiples of them in one room. And then the students kind of at each group are interacting with their local screen, and then the teachers controlling all the local screens, and they can all contribute. And I have noticed in some of the private schools now, they're moving beyond the, we've just got one interactive whiteboard at the front of the room, to we've got a couple of smaller ones at the back of the room for other kids to join into. A response card for? Okay, interactive whiteboards. Just a quick overview of the types that are available. You've got finger touch boards where you touch it with your finger, so it's got a soft surface. A stylus touch board where you need to use a stylus such as this, but it's these type of boards, for example, are electromagnetic and it's got a metal grid behind it. There's got a new one now which is basically a giant iPhone, so the touch surface of the screen is exactly the same technology. It's a sort of a cell-based technology as the iPad touch. You can then have the same thing on wheels, or you can have just the little device which goes onto your existing board, such as this one, and makes it interactive.
Do you know what sort of prices you're talking about with all those things?
Yes, installed. It can be confusing when you get pricing because remember you've got the actual board surface itself, and then you have the projector, either a short throw, long throw, or whatever. And so sometimes, and then you have installation. So when people quote prices, it can be confusing as to whether they're including the installation or including the projector or not. But fully installed, you're looking at around $7,000 for a largish one of these type. These are a bit more because you pay extra for this big metal frame. And also the primary schools like to use these because they can lower the board quite low for the smaller children. And these, including installation with the projectors, around about $4,000. Or just the devices on their own around about 1,000. So if you have if you already have a projector set up, then that's quite a low cost option. Just on the projectors, that when you're looking at buying projectors, you can have long throw projectors, which means they're going to be like this one, so 2 or 3 meters, 3 to 4 meters away from the board. You can get small light ones around about 1.5 kilos, which are good for if you're moving around a lot, or one such as that, the desktop, around about 3 kilos. These can also be mounted on the ceiling, such as that one. Then you can have a short throw or your ultra short throw. Short throw and ultra short throw both give the advantage of, as the teacher now, I can see the projector light, so it's distracting to me and could be considered an occupational health and safety issue if you're looking into the lens all day. It can damage your eyes, possibly. And also you have more shadow, so anytime I go in front of the projector board, my whole body is causing a shadow. Whereas if you have the short throw or the ultra short where it sits above the teacher's head, you basically only end up with a hand or an arm shadow, but no body shadow. And the difference, these ones sit about a metre away, so it's actually same as all these. These are all short throw rather than ultra short throw, so they're about a metre out from the board, and this is an ultra short throw which sits right hard up against the wall. It's not a lot of difference in terms of the shadow. You're still, with these ones, you're still sort of standing under it, so you're not looking into it, and unless you walk quite close to the board, you won't have body shadow. The other things to look at when you're buying a projector is just the brightness, so the ANSI lumens, but also there's another measurement of projector brightness, which is the colour light output. So you can still have a bright projector which doesn't have much colour light output, and so it will be bright on the screen, but the colours will look like reds will look kind of a dull, dark, reddy, pinky colour. So when you're buying a projector, if you check the colour light output, that's quite a good one. And also the projectors can be LCD or DLP. They have both improved a lot. It used to be definitely that an LCD projector was much better for data projection, such as from a computer, so what you would use for teaching. And DLP has kind of more mellow colours that are better for showing movies or films with. Good ones have both improved to the point where they're really okay to do either with, but where you have to be careful is in the cheap ones. So if you're buying a cheap DLP projector, then you tend to get very grainy text and it's not so easy to read, and so in that case the LCDs are better for text. And then the final option, which is just coming on now, is the totally interactive projector itself. So all that you need is the projector. The interactivity is built into the projector, and you use a stylus similar to that. The stylus basically has an infrared LED light at the end, and it talks to the sensor up in the projector. Yep, just a normal whiteboard, and all you need is a projector. You're looking around about $3,000 for the projector, interactive projector on its own. And with those, you need to be careful of the software, because the software that comes with the projector tends to be fairly basic, and you're generally looking at using some other third-party bit of software as your interactive whiteboard software, because the projector software is often not very good. And then the final step, which is heading in that direction slowly, but it's actually starting to pick up pace right at the moment, is instead of the projector at all, it's the large format touch LCD screens. As an example, that one there is probably about a 50-inch screen. You can get now a 65-inch screen for $11,000, which even 12 months ago would probably have been about $25,000. So they really come down, and this type of screen size you can get for around about $5,000 now. So when you consider the price of the board and the projector and the installation for these is very simple. It's just one bracket onto the wall. It's getting to the point where they're definitely worth considering. Okay, how familiar are you with interactive whiteboards? So have you used interactive whiteboards in your teaching much to date, or is it something that you're just starting to think about? Whoops. Went a bit quick there. Interactive whiteboards. So there's quite a few people who are quite familiar with them. Those people that use them a lot, how do you find them? Do you think they're a good thing? Yep.
Well, in actual fact, it's used in the way that the students come up and they use it. I don't use it as much.
Really?
The lessons are, so when you're doing, say, teaching event management, and you're talking about the organisational structure, so you've got throw names everywhere, they come up and drag them. So it's the drag and drop.
Drag and drop,
instead of me doing it, they come up and to stop. And the where it's positioned in the rooms is in the front.
Okay.
So it's that idea of...
Yep. So giving them more access.
Giving them, they own the whole space.
Yep.
And they interact with it.
That sounds excellent. It sounds like a good way to use it if you can. A number one. Okay. Okay, this is a test question on what we were just talking about, so if you're paying attention. Very good. Everybody's been paying attention. The correct answer is LCD. So it's called a correct answer indicator, that if the question has a correct answer, you can include one of those to reinforce students. Document cameras. So document cameras are been around in universities for quite a while. Tend to look more like that, where they're very expensive, elaborate items. But they're now becoming quite common in even primary school classrooms, where it's basically just... a simple device which connects to a USB port, and you can put documents under it. So it's really just the new overhead projector, and that means that you can include, as well as, we'll see in a minute, 3D stuff, you can just use any handout or paper sheet that you've got becomes part of your interactive whiteboard. Graphic tablets are also quite good. So in your example, for example, where you have kids or students coming up to the board, you can also just pass the graphic tablet around. I don't know if that's working. And students can... Yeah, so students can control the board from wherever they are in the room. So you can be sort of 10 metres away at the back of the room, and either you as a teacher can be wandering around and controlling your board from the back, or you can pass it to students and students can interact with you when you're teaching.
Do you have a couple of those connected to the computer all the time, or
only one? Yeah, no, you can have a couple connected. Depends a little bit on your software. So if you have, say, two, it's just like as if you have two mouse connected to a computer, and whichever moves first will be the one that gets that thing. Windows 7 has got multiple mouse capability, so you can have about 20 mice at the same time in Windows 7. And they also said that for general use, they're either going to be wireless, such as this one, or connected by a cable to your computer, which is some computer labs will have a small one of these connected to every computer, so that when students are at the computer, they can input by drawing in freehand, as well as with a mouse. And they're also very commonly used in high-end design applications, where the thing about these is they have very, very high levels of touch sensitivity and brush stroke pressure and that kind of thing, so they can draw very high zoom, so they're able to create images with high level of precision. But they're also great for a classroom which has got an interactive whiteboard. I need to go back to that mode. And student response system. Okay, so what you're using now is another technology which is becoming a lot more popular. Once teachers start teaching with an interactive whiteboard in their classroom, it's a great thing to be able to just ask a question and everybody to share the answer with that straight away. Okay, so really quickly, engage all the students. Everyone's got an equal voice, so even the quiet people have an equal voice, and that's one of the reasons why students react quite strongly to it. They really like to feel that they're being heard. Gives the teacher great information in real time, which means you're able to develop your agile teaching skills, which means you're able to react to the situation because you have very accurate information about levels of understanding and what's going on. Also, it enables you to use things such as peer instruction because you know when it's an appropriate time to use it. Game-based learning, we'll have a look at the end, we'll do a competition. Ideal for formative assessments. It means because it records an actual score for each student on the keypad, it means you can do every lesson a test virtually. You can ask a few questions. At the end of the lesson, it only takes a second to look up on your computer how all the students have gone and very quickly identify students who may be falling behind, rather than waiting for the end of a topic and giving a written test, finding out that a certain student was never following the whole time. So it's really, because of the convenience, it's great for formative assessment. It's also good for tests as well, proper tests. Definitely promotes discussion. Once the students see everybody else's response, they feel like they want to contribute. And because it speaks to the next generation, which just means students like to feel that they're connected and they know where they are in the class and how they're going compared to everybody else, while still maintaining anonymity. Let's have a closer look at an interactive whiteboard. So if I stop that. Just asking me that says it's got session data, which means it's recorded all of your answers to those sessions. And if I say yes, I will record the results as a session file, and you can look at them later. Otherwise, you don't need to.
What would you import that into to look at? Like, what do you look at for that TVZ file?
It's actually part of the Turning Point software that we're using. So you open Turning Point and you just click on the thing which says generate a report. I'll have a look at it later, but it I guess I'll do it quickly right now. If we just if we go to where I saved that session file, which is so part of the Turning Point software is this report generator, and so you just pick the software that I just opened up. Okay, and it gives you a whole set of reports that you can generate from that. So if you have a look at, say, graphical results by question, it'll show you how everybody answered each question. You can ask a demographic question, such as are you male or female, and it will generate a report based on every question broken up into the demographics. graded participant list, results by participant, and then you just click on generate reports, and away it goes. So it'll put those reports into an Excel spreadsheet for you. It's about 42 different ones you can choose, but you know, you usually work out which two or three ones that you need, and then you've got an instant report. So where are you located? We can see that we had most people in New South Wales and a few in Queensland. That's a graph for it. Then the different reports that you've asked for at the bottom. So that's your device ID. You can use a class list, so you can load the names of your actual students in your class and hand the keypad out to the correct person, and then their actual names will appear in the report if you use that class list, and they'll give you a total score at the end. That will actually have the student's name here, and they're correct or incorrect, or another report will give you the full analysis of their test results. So yes, yeah, so it's quite easy to generate reports when you finish the session or later. So
you could use this in as a point where you're tracking what they're answering, and if they're not getting it, then you could use it as you could send them extra work, you know, like extra points on just what they're not learning, couldn't you?
Definitely, yeah. Very sharply identifies the areas that they're having. In fact, to take that one step further, you can set up in your tests, you can set a set of standards, and standards can be any criteria that you want to set, and then you can, as you write a question, you can assign standards, or it might be dot points or topic points that that question is addressing, and then you can generate a standards report, and it'll, for each student, it'll tell you which standards they're getting and which ones they're missing. So tools, standards, yeah, so it's got a set of standards, but you can, it actually has the Australian standards already built in there for different subject areas and grade levels, and you can also just go to custom standards list and type in your own set of standards if you've got for your particular course that you wanted to be able to generate reports about how students are going relative to the standards that you've set. Okay, how are we going for time? Have we got okay.
Yeah.
In that case, we better do the quiz so that we can give out the bottle of wine. Okay.
Can
so.
Do that?
Yes.
We have
Don't get worried, but it'll still work.
Oh, well, yeah, it'll work. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Still work. We'll. I'll just check on the first. Question to make sure your keypads are responding.
I really want the bottle of wine.
Actually, I can just do it now. Tools. So just the two people with the new one, if you just press any answer, any button, 1 to 10 on your keypad, should see if it'll pop up here.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Okay, so you're 00B6F9 and B6A5.
Oh, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, so I said if you used a class list with your class, then that would just come up with the actual student's name, but since it's anonymous, it'll just be recording the actual device ID for you. Okay, so we just go to slideshow issue. Okay, so this is a quiz about Australian Prime Ministers. So first thing, we insert a team assignment slide. So this is basically, you would, at the end of a topic perhaps, where you've got 20 questions to ask the class. Instead of just asking 20 questions, you can insert a few of these competition slides to turn the quiz into an actual competition, and just makes it more engaging and fun for them. So pick any one of those three teams. We've got six, one, two, three, seven, eight. Should have eight. Very good. Okay, so everybody's on a team. Okay, so it doesn't matter that the teams are not equal, because the system averages out the scores to make the teams equal. And what it means is, from this point on, every time you vote, your correct or incorrect score will go towards your own personal tally and towards your team's tally. So we'll ask the questions. Who was Australia's first Prime Minister? 5 seconds. One person hasn't got their vote in yet. There we are. Notice you can change your mind at any time. If you press a button and you think it better of it, just press the one that you would like to vote, and it'll just remember the last one that you pressed. And the correct answer was Emma Barton. Who took off with them to become Prime Minister. Okay, so we'll speed it up a little bit now. Your timers are only 5 seconds. Oh no, that one's 10 seconds. Oh, I did mention the bottle of wine goes to the most valuable player on the winning team. Okay? So whoever scores the most points on the winning team. Who to go for and the correct answer was Billy McMahon. How many elections did Malcolm Fraser win as Prime Minister? 5 seconds. And the correct answer was 3. And racing leaderboard. So this is the current state of the teams. We've got the Silver Spoons are ahead, and Swingers and True Believers are neck and neck just behind them. Very close race. Which one of the fine people was an Australian Prime Minister? Whoops. A couple of people missed out. And the correct answer was Chris Watson. The third Prime Minister of Australia. Which Prime Minister had the shortest time in office? It was 7 days he was Prime Minister for. Think forward. Nobody got it right. What was Margaret Fraser's wife's name? Silver Spoons are still in front. Next question we'll call the fastest responder. So you're not actually getting extra points for that, but you'll be able to see who is the fastest person to answer this question. They're not that fast. Australia's youngest Prime Minister. Good old Chris Watson again. And fastest responder was B607, who had a correct, the fastest correct responder. Well done. You get nothing for that, unfortunately. What percentage of your current points would you like to wager on your next question? I can't see the... I should put a countdown timer on that slide. Okay. Which of the following Prime Ministers was never a minister other than the Australian government? Never a minister other than Prime Minister. As people said, John McEwen. Correct answer was...
parachuted in.
Yeah. Few people have done their money on that one. Last question. Which Welsh town was Julia Gillard born? Barry, in Wales. That was the most popular answer. Team scores. Swingers have won. Team most valuable player on the Swingers was B6DB. Who's B6DB? That's you? B6DB, that is you. Congratulations.
It's just lucky that my sport is politics.
Just lucky.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's... Okay, so then once you've run a session with the class, the first thing you would do would be to click on here to save the session. And the session file contains all the information that at any point in the future you want to extract information about that session, you can from the session file. Even actually contains the whole PowerPoint presentation. And then once you've saved the session file, you might want to go ahead and generate some reports, or you can also integration. You can upload the results into Moodle or WebCT or Blackboard if you want. Can't quite see where that is at the moment, but you can do that. So anybody got any questions? Remotely?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. There's a couple of options. One is when I start a session, if I go to Responseware, then what will happen? What should happen? Maybe I need to reset the session. That's probably doing. That will set up. It'll ask you for a username and password, which you already have usually logged into your computer, and that means that. When you do that, it generates a number, 5-digit number, and then anybody either in the room or anywhere in the world can type that number into their computer, and when the question comes up here, it'll come up on their computer and they can vote the answers on their keyboard.
Mm-hmm. So it's about maybe the teacher.
Yeah.
Sends
yep.
an email out to all the learners.
Yes.
And then they
Yes, they just need to go to a website called rwpoll.com, Responseware Poll, and they will see the session that you've created appear on their computer when they go there, and they click to join that session, and they type in the session ID number, and then they're on. And they can participate along with people in the classroom using keypads, or other people using an iPhone or anything you'd like, so they can all join together. You can also have another option which is called remote poll, which means you may have a classroom here and you may have another classroom in Perth, and each one of them has a computer and handsets, response cards, and those two computers can connect over the internet, and then so if you've got a video conferencing set up between the two groups, then you can ask questions and all of the two or more remote groups anywhere in the world can join in that way. Yes.
Yep. Can you still do that?
Yes, absolutely. You can do just computers.
Just press it on their keyboard.
Mm.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. It's sold by a concurrent user license per year, so you've got however many students are going to be voting at the same time.
Mm.
You need to buy that many licenses. I think it's $25 a year or something.
Okay.
How many people?
Per concurrent user. So you're the teacher, you will have the username and password on your computer, which means you can initiate a session anytime you like. And say your license covers 50 people, any 50 people in the world who join your session, you will accept votes from.
And
not really. That's really more your kind of Survey Monkey type setup.
Okay.
This is a live, everybody votes on the same question at the same time setup. So it's different. So you generally need to be using it with some type of video conferencing. So it's not video conferencing, but if you already have, and I know corporates use it quite a bit where they'll have meetings set up in different boardrooms.
Mm.
Already connected by a video conference, but then they can vote when the video conference is open instantly. Well, that receiver there is a big one.
Yep.
Oh, so that
depends on the size of the receiver.
Well, yeah, but the normal one is the little one that Liz is holding,
yep.
And that will accept 1,000 keypads up to 70 metres away. That will accept 120 metres away. Yeah. So 1,000, yeah, it's quite a lot. It should cover most of your applications.
And how much are
these? Around about, for education, I think about $55 each. So you're looking at approximately $2,000 for a kid of 30, 28, plus training is about $500.
It'd be popular with
the medical and... Tis, actually. Yeah. Anywhere where they have a meeting and they put up like scenarios where they say, this is the symptoms of the patient, would you use 2 mils or 5 mils or 7 mils? And they've all got an opinion. That's great for that sort of thing.
A lot of medical conferences, there isn't a natural gap.
Yeah.